It's 3 pages.
Okay, tonight's Kapitel Tehillim is Samech Ches, 68. And I just want to open up our discussion of the Kapitel by reading a line from Amos Chacham, who's the author of the Das Mikra commentary on the Tehillim. He writes as follows in his summary of the Kapitel. Hamefarshim regilim lomar. The Mefarshim are accustomed to saying, "Ki mizmor samiches hu hasasum b'chol mizmorei tehillim." That Kapitel Samiches is the most difficult to understand of all of the chapters of Tehillim. Right. So that's a good introduction, I guess, to tonight's shiur. Right. This is a doozy. In other words, we're about to learn a Kapitel Tehillim. Right. Exactly. We're about to learn a Kapitel Tehillim, which is very, very difficult to understand. Why is it so difficult to understand? So he goes on to say as follows: Rabos bo milim yichidaos. There are many unique words that appear in this Kapitel Tehillim. Again, words that don't really appear anywhere else, so we have to guess a little bit as to what they mean. Umelitzos shein dugmasan od b'mikra. And there are also expressions that really don't appear anywhere else, anywhere in Tanakh. So again, when we don't have a basis of comparison to be able to figure out what a word means or what an expression means, it leaves us at a disadvantage in terms of trying to figure out what the whole Kapitel means. Besides that, writes the author of the Das Mikra, the kasha la'amod al kishur ha'inyanim shebo. It's also very difficult to try to figure out the connection between the various psukim. Meaning, even when we think we understand what the pasuk is saying, there isn't always an obvious flow between pasuk aleph and pasuk beis and pasuk gimel and pasuk dalet. Sometimes it seems like, again, on the surface, obviously this isn't true in reality, but sometimes on the surface, reading through the Kapitel Tehillim, it sounds very disjointed. You know, that there isn't a very, very obvious flow of ideas from one pasuk into the next. So for those reasons, you know, difficult words, difficult phrases, you know, unique words and phrases, a less than obvious connection between the psukim. So Amos Chacham writes that, you know, he thinks this is, you know, or the Mefarshim in general write that this is the most difficult Kapitel to understand in all of Sefer Tehillim. All right. Nonetheless, we have to have a shiur tonight. So we're going to do our best to try to at least understand on some level what's going on. We'll present the difficulties. In other words, we'll explain to the best of our ability, you know, where we do have phrases or words that are hard to understand. And we'll also try to give some idea of what the theme of the Kapitel might be. So let's open with the following. And here, just in terms of understanding what one way of understanding what the Kapitel is talking about, let me start by reading to you the Malbim and you know, his opening remarks to this Kapitel. Acharei ha'ashkofa al pratei hashir v'siduro ma'arachoso, says the Malbim, after looking through the details of this Kapitel Tehillim and the way it's arranged and the like, achshov ki nisyaseid al amon ha'mulchomos shahoy Elohim Moav uplishtim v'aram sova v'aram damesek v'edom kenisker b'shmuel beis. Right? David HaMelech, says the Malbim, is writing this Kapitel Tehillim to celebrate the victories that he's had in the many, many wars that David HaMelech had during his tenure. I mean, again, we know from Sefer Shmuel that David HaMelech fought against many, many nations that surrounded Eretz Yisrael, again, and was victorious, you know, managed to defeat them and managed to expand the territory of Eretz Yisrael to an incredible degree. This Kapitel Tehillim is the Kapitel of victory, where David HaMelech is describing how he was able, with Hashem's help, to beat back these various enemies. Specifically, says the Malbim, the Kapitel makes reference a few times to Har HaBashan, to the mountain in Bashan. Bashan is northeastern Eretz Yisrael, roughly what we would consider today to be the Golan Heights. In other words, you know, David HaMelech speaks about how he was able to conquer enemies who were in the vicinity of the Golan Heights. Now, again, historically, we know that that is a good description of the wars that David HaMelech fought. Some of the wars that he fought were against the nations of Aram. Aram is modern-day Syria. And we know that David HaMelech was successful in his battles against the Aramim, you know, what we consider today to be the Syrians. We can also appreciate, just based on modern-day history, that if you conquer the Golan Heights, that's cause for celebration, because strategically it's a very, very, you know, important mountain range, you know, which gives whoever conquers it superiority, you know, over the enemy. So specifically, this Kapitel Tehillim seems to be focusing on the conquest of the Golan Heights by David HaMelech. It describes that conquest, how Hashem beats out the enemy, and says the Malbim, numerous psukim also retrospect and describe how Hashem appeared to the Jewish people and supported us at Sinai when we left Mitzrayim, when we initially came into Eretz Yisrael. And here, and the Malbim says this is part of the confusion that we have when we read the Kapitel. The Kapitel goes back and forth between the present and the past without really telling you when it's doing that. So that's part of the confusion. On the one hand, the Kapitel is talking about David HaMelech and his victories in the Golan Heights. And then without warning, we're back at Sinai, remembering how Hashem gave us the Torah and He protected us and He brought us into Eretz Yisrael. So He did great things for us then, and He continues to do great things for us now. According to Amos Chacham, which again is similar to the Malbim, the Kapitel ends off describing the victory parade that takes place in the time of David HaMelech, you know, after the successful campaign in the Golan Heights, and praises Hashem extensively for having given victory to the Jewish people. Right? So again, we'll see all of that inside in the Pesukim, but according to, you know, the Malbim, this is primarily a song of military victory, where David HaMelech is exalting the fact that Hashem gave David and the Jewish people victory over their foes, particularly in places that are very strategic. What we will see, Be'ezus Hashem, as we go through the Pesukim, is that Chazal picked various Pesukim out of this Kapitel and explained them in a way different from the way we're going to explain on the Pashut of Pshat level. Chazal saw in many, many psukim in this Kapitel Tehillim references to events that surrounded the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai. And many of the midrashim, which we know, as from the time that we were kids, about what happened at Har Sinai, are linked by Chazal to psukim here in this Kapitel Tehillim. Right? So, again, many of these interpretations of Chazal are not the Pashut Pshat in the Kapitel Tehillim, but again, we'll talk about them a little bit as we go through, recognizing that the Kapitel can be read on at least two levels, right? Describing a victory that happened to David HaMelech, and the victory parade that accompanies that, and also the incredible events that surround, you know, the Maimed Har Sinai, you know, the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai. So with that as an introduction, as a second introduction, let's take a look at the Kapitel. Lam Natzeach LeDavid Mizmor Shir. Right, for the choir master, for David, a song. Yokum Elokim, let Hashem rise up. Yofutsu Oyevav, let his enemies scatter. V'yonusu Misanov Miponov, and let those who hate him, let them run away from before him. Again, a very appropriate way to open up a Kapitel Tehillim that describes the victories of David HaMelech. Kehindof Ashon Tindof. They, the enemy, will be scattered just like smoke scatters. Kehimes Donag Mipnei Esh. Just as wax melts from before the fire. That's what's going to happen to the enemy. Yovdu Rishoyim Mipnei Elokim. That's how the Rishoyim will disappear and be lost from before Hashem. V'tzadikim yismachu. And at that time, the tzadikim will rejoice. Yaltsu lifnei Elokim. they will be happy in the presence of Hashem. V'yosisu v'simcha. And they will rejoice in happiness. Right? Again, if you think about this as a description of a military victory, again, the psukim fit in very, very well. The enemy scatters, he melts like wax, he disappears like smoke, and the tzaddikim, meaning the Jewish people who were victorious against this Syrian army, they rejoice before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then comes a pasuk, which we may know from the davening, Shiru Leilokim, sing a song to Hashem, Zaru Shmo, praise His name. Solu, give praises to Lorochev Bo'aravos, Hashem who rides through the Aravos. Now Aravos over here has nothing to do with the Lulav and Esrog. Aravos is one of the names used in Tanakh for the heavens. And you know, the Gemara Chagiga tells us that there are seven different names for the heavens. One of them, the highest place in the heavens, is Aravos. Right? So Hashem is referred to the Rochev Bo'aravos, right? The one who rides through the heavens. Now, by the way, for those who sing Zmiras on Shabbos, which is always a good idea, right? You know, one of the when we say in Baruch Kel Elyon, you know, which we sing Shabbos morning, we describe Hashem as Rochev Bo'aravos, again riding through the heavens. That's directly taken from this Kapitel Tehillim. Solo, give praise LaRochev Bo'aravos because Shemo. Hashem rides through the heavens, and His name is Yud Kei. Hashem's name, again, we know one of the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yud Kei. So, why is that name of Hashem specifically mentioned over here? Right? So, Rashi over here writes as follows. B'shem ka shehu lashon yira. The name of Hashem, Yud Kei, denotes the idea of God being the source of yira, of fear, of awe, and of reverence. And the idea is, sing the praises of Hashem, who is awesome and to be feared. Right? Ka Shemo. His name is Ka, the fearsome God. Where do we get the idea that Ka is associated with Hashem, who is fearsome? So Rashi quotes a couple of psukim from Chumash that we're familiar with, right? By the Shiras Hayom, right? Ozi v'zimras ka. Ka, Yud Kei, is my strength and the one who will cut off the enemy. That's Zimras. Hashem cuts off the enemy, right? So Yud Kei is a lashon of strength. Again, you know, a lashon that indicates that Hashem is feared. To take another example also from the end of from Parshas Bishalach, after the war with Amalek, the pasuk says ki yod al kes ka mukham al Hashem ba Amalek, the hand sits on the throne of ka. There is war that Hashem is going to make against Amalek. So in other words, what does that mean? Ka is the shame of Hashem that denotes the God who's fighting, you know, the God who's fighting against Amalek, the God whom Amalek fears, right? So that name, Yud Kei, is associated with the idea of God being a fearsome God, a fighting God, somebody that the enemy is afraid of. Again, this interpretation fits in beautifully with our understanding of the Kapitel, as being a kapitel that celebrates the victory of the Jewish people over the enemy. You know, sing praises to Hashem, who's Rochev Bo'aravos. He's riding through the skies. He's riding through the heavens. Why use such an imagery? Well, again, if you want to depict Hashem, kivyachol, as a warrior, you know, the fiercest warrior which they had in the time of the Tanakh was the guy who'd be riding a chariot. You know, that's the guy that you really have to fear, because he's the fastest warrior which you have. So kivyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as riding in a chariot. In other words, you know, there's no escape from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're the enemy, he's going to come after you. Ka Shemo. His name is Yud Kei. the ilzu lefanov, right, and rejoice, right, be happy in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there's a sudden switch in the tone of the Kapitel Tehillim. Up until now, we've been describing Hashem as Kivyachol, the fierce warrior who wages war against the enemy. But Hashem is not only that. Avi Yisomim, Hashem is the father of orphans. V'dayon Almonos, and Hashem is the one who judges those who start up with widows. It doesn't mean that Hashem judges the widow, right? It means that God is the protector of widows. You know, somebody who starts up with the widow, gives the widow a hard time, is going to be judged by Hashem. Hashem is going to come after the person who gives the widow a hard time. Elokim b'ma'am kodsha. Hashem is in His holy place. And then we continue. Elokim meshiv yechidim b'aisa. Hashem brings Hashem Elokim Moshev Yechidim Baisa. Kodesh Baruch Hu takes individuals who are all alone and He enables them to come back to their houses. Motzi Asirim Bekosharos. He enables the prisoners to come out Bekosharos. Now the word kosharos, Amos Chacham notes over here, Milo Yechida'o b'mikra. This is the only place in all of Tanakh where you have the word kosharos. So what's the interpretation of kosharos? Right, if we don't really have anywhere else to compare it to. So the Mitsudos right over here, that it's miloshen kosher, that's like kosher, that it's done properly. So Hashem brings out the prisoners bakosharos in a way that's appropriate, in a way that's fitting. The Radak gives a totally different interpretation. The Radak writes kosharos means chains, right? Totally different, right? Motzi asirim bekosharos. And according to his interpretation, the word asirim and kosharos go together. God takes out those who are prisoners in chains. Right? No, He breaks the chains. He allows the prisoners to go out. Right?
How does He get the chains?
Well, I mean, we don't have any... So the Radak writes very, very interestingly. He says, the word kosharos is similar to the word kishuros with a kuf. Kishuros means tied, like a kesha. So in other words, if you assume that the kuf and the kuf are interchangeable with one another, which is a big assumption, but the Radak says we can make that, so then kosharos means that which is tied, that which is chained. For his part, the Das Mikra writes that he thinks the word kosharos is related to the word for joy, for simcha, right? And he sort of admits he doesn't really have a firm basis for that, other than just the context, that it talks about everyone being happy over here. Whatever the word kosharos means exactly, clearly the sense of the pasuk is basically the same. Hashem takes lonely individuals and brings them back to the house. He lets the prisoners go free. Ach sorerim, but evildoers, shachnu tzichicha. They dwell in a thirsty land. What do you mean that they dwell in a thirsty land? The rishayim are left in a place where there's a drought and not much water. Alright, so let's go back and look at these two psukim, Vav and Zayin, and appreciate a little bit what's going on over here in the kapitel. Avi Yisomim v'dayin almonos. Hashem is the father of orphans. He judges those who give the almana a hard time. And Elokim Moshev Yechidim Baisa Motzi Asirim Bakosharos. He takes lonely people and brings them home, and He releases prisoners, whatever the word Bakosharos means exactly. In other words, Hashem takes care of those who are vulnerable. Why is that an important point for the kapitel to make right at this point? Because it stands in marked contrast to the previous description of Hashem. Before, we described Hashem as the Rochev Ba'aravos. He's the mighty warrior. He's on a chariot. He's riding through the heavens. He's going to break the enemy. He's going to destroy the enemy. You know, Koshimo, he's the fierce God associated with Yira, with awe, and with reverence. So, you know, the image that we have of the Ribbono Shel Olam based on that earlier pasuk is that Hashem's pretty tough. You know, you don't want to start off with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But these two psukim suddenly switch it and say, yes, Hashem is great and fearsome and awesome, but he's also kivyachol tender. And he takes care of people who are vulnerable and need Hashem's help. He takes care of yesomim and almanos and yechidim. Again, yechidim over here means lonely people, you know, takes care of prisoners. Hashem, as much as he's a fierce warrior, is also, you know, very much, you know, caring and loving and tender. And it's not a stira, it's not a contradiction. Hashem has different attributes which he uses when dealing with different types of people. When he needs to protect the Jewish people, he's a warrior. But when he deals with the people who are vulnerable in society, you know, he treats them with kid gloves. You know, and that's the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that, you know, he can be, you know, he can act in different ways with different groups of people. I don't know if anyone here says V'yiten Lecha Motzei Shabbos. You know, printed in the Sidurim is a series of psukim which many people say Motzei Shabbos. Those who daven Nusach Ashkenaz say it in Shul before we say Havdalah. Those who daven Nusach Svard say it after they say Havdalah. Those who really daven Nusach Ashkenaz but want to daven Nusach Svard end up not saying it at all, you know, which I guess saves you 5 minutes, Motzei Shabbos. But for those who do say V'yiten Lecha, they say it's a school for Parnosa, by the way. So, you know, it's probably a good thing to say. For other reasons also, but, you know, school for Parnosa is always a good thing. I've often thought that here in the shul, they should probably stop me from saying it, because my Parnosa is probably everybody else's money, right? Okay, so... Okay, that's very good. Yeah. So it's what goes around comes around, you know. We'll try to spread the wealth. But Bekitzer, in the end of Yitam Lecha, we say this every Motzei Shabbos, there's a statement from the Gemara which includes these psukim. The statement from the Gemara says as follows. Am Rabbi Yochanan said, B'chol makam sha'ata motzei gdulaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shom ata motzei anvos sanusa. Every place where the Tanakh speaks about the greatness of Hashem, in the same breath, it always speaks about the humility of Hashem, kivyachol, right? And it says, "Davar zeh kasuv batara, b'shanoi banaviim u'mashulash baksuvim." This idea is written in the Torah. It's repeated in the Navi, and it's repeated a third time in the Ksuvim. And the example from Ksuvim that's given is this pasuk here. Solur al rochev baravos bekoshimo, right? Give praises to Hashem who's riding through the heavens, right? And yet, avi yisomim v'dayin almonos. In the very next pasuk, we describe Hashem as getting involved with the yisomim and the almonos. Wait a minute, Hashem is up there in the heavens. He's riding through the heavens. He's majestic. He's awesome. He's awe-inspiring. You know, Vos Epis, he's getting involved with the Yisomen and the Almanos. In other words, that's such a, you know, it's so beneath him to be involved with vulnerable people like that. And the answer that the Gemara says is no, that's exactly the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great and he's awesome and awe-inspiring, but at the very same time, he's dealing with everybody. You know, in other words, there's nobody who, you know, is too lowly or too vulnerable or too, you know, too needy. You know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't have something to do with that person. So that idea, by the way, Yosler Rosenblatt made it into a song, that whole end of Yitam Lecha. But that idea that these psukim express the idea that Hashem is simultaneously great and glorious, but also concerned with you know, the most vulnerable people in society, is really just the Pashat of Pshat over here. Hashem is everything. Hashem is a great warrior, but Hashem is also dealing with the people who need Hashem to give them a pat on the back and to make them feel good. Okay. Then we come to Pasuk Ches. Elokim b'tseischa lifnei amecha b'tzadcha b'yishimam selah. When you went out before your nation, when you walked through the desert, Selah. Again, the end of the end of a section. At that time, Eretz Ra'asha, the earth trembled, Af Shomayim Notfu, and the heavens brought down rain, Mipnei Elokim, because of the greatness of Hashem. Zeh Sinai, Sinai itself, Mipnei Elokim Elokei Yisrael, because of Hashem, the God of Israel. Now these two psukim, as the Malbim told us before, seem to be a glimpse into the past. Right? The Malbim told us that the capital is going to go back and forth between describing the present victory and also, you know, looking back into the past and describing what happened in the past. So up until now, we've been describing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu led the Jewish people to victory against their enemies. He's a great warrior, even though he takes care of the most vulnerable people in society. And let's look back into the past. Hashem has always been a source of strength for the Jewish people. He went out before us when we left Mitzrayim. He showed us the way in the desert for 40 years. And when he came to Sinai, this is Pasuk Tes, the earth shook, rain came down from the heavens, right? We know that by Maimon Har Sinai there were kolos of rakim, was thunder and lightning, right? That showed the awesomeness, the incredible power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just as he was powerful then, he's powerful now. In other words, there hasn't been, you know, even in the many years since Maimon Har Sinai, Hashem hasn't let up his power or his strength on behalf of the Jewish people. We then have the following. Geshem nedavos tanef Elokim. Hashem, you bring down gishmei bracha, rains of blessing, rains of plenty. Nachlascha v'nila atochananta. You establish your inheritance, the place that's special, that's your nachala, that's your land. Even though it's nila, even though it's tired out and worn out. What is this pasuk referring to? So the simple pshat would seem to be that now we switch back into the present. We're talking about the greatness of Hashem. So part of the greatness of Hashem was that He took us out of Mitzrayim, He gave us the Torah, and He went before us in the Midbar for 40 years. Another aspect of the greatness of Hashem is that now that we are in Eretz Yisrael, He continues to provide for us through Gishmei Bracha, through bringing down the rain. And, you know, even though the Nachala, the inheritance, meaning Eretz Yisrael, the land of Hashem, may be Nila, there are times where it's worn out and thirsty, Atochonanta, nonetheless, you establish it. You make sure that Eretz Yisrael always has what to provide it for. Chayoscha yoshvuva, tochim betovascha la'ani, Elokim. Your animals dwell in it, prepare through your goodness for the ani, for the poor person, O Hashem. What does this mean? So all the Mefarshim write over here, interestingly enough, that the word chayoscha, which literally means your animals, should be translated into English along the lines of your flock, Hashem. And the reference is not to animals, but rather the reference is to the Jewish people, to Klal Yisrael. Chayoscha yoshvuva. You are, quote-unquote, animals. Not meant in a negative sense. Meant in the sense that Hashem is responsible for us, just like a shepherd is responsible for the flock. Your animals, Hashem, dwell in it, in Eretz Yisrael. And the Mefarshim point out that there are other examples of the usage of Chaya in this sense. You know, Chaya to mean people, right? Not just the name, but Chaya to mean people. There are psukim that describe psukim in Sefer Shmuel that describe Vayasvu Plishtim LaChaya, that the Plishtim came together as a mass, and V'Chayas Plishtim Chone BeEmek Refoim. Again, literally, the animals of the Plishtim are encamped in the valley of Refoim, which again doesn't mean that they brought all their sheep and stuck them there in the valley. In other words, it means the population of the congregation of the Plishtim are all congregated in this particular place. Here too, Chayas Kol Yashvuva means your flock, your nation, the Jewish people live there, and you prepare Eretz Yisrael as a place with kindness for the poor person. Adokar Yiten Omer Hamevasros Savarov. Hashem gives His word even when they are announcing a great army. This is also a little bit obscure. What's the point over here? So if one goes with the interpretation of the Kapitel Tehillim that it's describing primarily a great victory, so the sense of the pasuk is as follows. Hamavat, read it in the other way, reverse the phrases in the pasuk. Hamavasros Savarov. The heralds, the announcers came back and they said, a great army is coming, right? There's a great army coming. We're not afraid when a great army comes because Hashem Yitain Omer. Hashem just gives the word, and as we're going to see in the upcoming psukim, the Tzava Rav, the great army, is going to be no match for the word of Hashem. That's the next pasuk. Malchei Tzavaos Yedodun Yedodun. The word Tzavaos over here is not one of the Shemos of Hashem. Malchei Tzavaos, the kings of the armies. Tzavaos just means like the plural of Tzava. The kings of the armies, Yedodun Yedodun, they flee. They flee. Now, why is that word flee? Well, think about from the very beginning of Chumash. Nava nod tiye ba'aretz. Right? And as Cain is told that he has to wander. So the kings of these armies, Yedodun Yedodun, they're wandering, but not that they're vacilling around, spatzering. They're running away. They're going away, and they don't even know where they're going. They're running in all different directions. In other words, this is a description of the military victory. Univas bayis tichalek shalom, and the nevas bayis, right? Nevas means like a house, right? In other words, a noveh. Noveh, right, is beauty, right? But noveh means a dwelling place. Nevas bayis, the dwelling place of the house, divides up the spoils. Meaning what? Pashut Pshat, nevas bayis refers to the Jewish people. Those who dwell in the house, meaning the inhabitants of the land, right? In other words, the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael divide up the spoils. Right, so again, these two psukim go together, and if we just try to understand them together, we see that it describes the battle. Hashem yitain omer, Hashem gives the word when hamevasros tzava rav, when they announce a great army coming, and once Hashem gives the word, malchei tzavos yedodun yedodun, the kings of the armies run away, unevas bayis techalek shalom, and the local inhabitants, the Jews, divide up the spoils and the booty among themselves, right? So these
but they're not supposed to take the booty.
No, so that's very rare. In other words, only when they conquered Yericho, so they were told not to take any of the spoils. But bederech klal, to the victor go the spoils. Bederech klal, we do take the spoils. So that's these two psukim are describing the war itself. Then we have a very difficult pasuk to translate. Im tishkavon ben shifatoyim, if you lie down between the herds of sheep, it's one way to translate shifatoyim. If No, not Svatayim, but Shepatoyim. Shepatoyim. Right? It's a shin, right? And, you know, it's Shepatoyim. No, the Shofet is with a test. Right? So it's a very unusual word. We have it in Shiras Devorah also to some extent. Lama Yoshavta Bein HaMishpesayim. Right? So Bein HaMishpesayim over there is understood as, why did you sit among the sheep? Right, you know, when Devorah is criticizing those people who didn't come to help out the war, you know, you were just hanging out with the sheep, you know, being a shepherd, that's very nice, but when it's a time for war, you gotta come. Im tishkavun ben shvatoyim, if you lie down among the sheep, kanfe yona nechpa bakesef, wings of a dove covered over with silver, the Evroseha, and its wings, Sirakrak Chorutz, with the finest type of gold. Right? Yirakrak is related to the word Yorok, which offhand we would say means green. It's important to remember that in both Biblical and Mishnaic Hebrew, even though we use the word yarok in modern day Hebrew to mean green, yarok actually means a spectrum of different colors that are similar to green. Right? So, for instance, yarok can also mean what we would describe as being yellow. So for instance, I mean, Lamashu, when Chazal talk about Esther Amalka's being, that she was, how's it go? Yirakrokes, right? So that what they probably mean by that is not that Esther Amalka was green. They probably mean that she was jaundiced. Right? She had a yellow kind of complexion, right? So, and as the word yarok can mean yellow, so gold, you know, one version of gold at least is that it's yellow. There's certain types of gold. Standard type of gold is yellow. So if you lie down between the sheep, wings of a dove covered over with silver, and its wings are covered over with the finest type of gold. What does that even mean on any level, right? If you lie down with the sheep, it doesn't even flow. So the Das Mikra over here suggests that the word im doesn't necessarily mean if. I mean, we find sometimes in Chumash that im means just indeed or when, as opposed to being something conditional. L'mashal, im kesef talve es ami. Right? So if you lend, it's not if you lend, you know, money to a fellow Jew, it's when you lend money to a fellow Jew. So here also he suggests, im tishkavun ben shvatoyim, indeed, you'll be able to lie down among the sheep, meaning you'll go out to war, but you'll come back from the war. In other words, you'll be able to resume your, you know, pre-war activities. You'll come back, you'll be with the sheep, you'll be with the flocks, you know, you'll resume your peaceful existence. And not only are you going to come back from the war intact and safe and sound, but you'll actually have spoils of war to be able to show for your efforts. You'll come back with wings of a dove covered over with silver and covered over with gold. Now, this may have been a reference to some kind of jewelry, right? They may have had some type of jewelry that looked like the wings of a dove. And, you know, the pasuk is then saying, you'll come back from the war intact and you'll be able to go back to the flocks and, you know, just sit there and you know, learn Mishnayos or whatever you were going to do while you're sitting with the flocks, and not only that, you'll be able to come back from the war with gold and silver jewelry and be able to provide for yourself. Clearly, though, you understand that as much as we gave that interpretation for the pasuk, it's a very, very difficult pasuk to translate. I mean, the Das Mikra writes, again, just in summarizing the pasuk, in Yano shall pasuk zeh sasul me'od. Very, very difficult to understand what this pasuk is talking about. Let's give some other interpretations of this pasuk. Again, I mean, it's a very, very hard pasuk to understand. The Radak writes that the word Shefatoyim has nothing to do with sheep, like we said before. Rather, it means a place where they set up the pots for cooking. Right, a totally different pshat. How do you get to setting up the pots for cooking? So, the truth is, in Lashon HaMishnah, in Mishnah Yekibru, when you put a pot down on the fire, the verb which is used is shofes, shin vav feisof, right? So to be shofes es hakdera. So the Radak writes along those lines, im tishkavun ben shifatoyim, if you lie down in a humble place where the pots are, in other words, the place where the pots were kept was a dirty place, you know, it was a place that was filled with soot because it was near the fire. You know, if you lie down in a place which is humbling, so ultimately you'll become like the wings of the dove covered over with gold and silver, meaning if you humble yourself and you go hang, you know, you stay in a place which is, you know, dirty and the like, ultimately you'll be raised up to be like a great dove with gold and silver, meaning if a person is humble, they'll ultimately be able to come to a place of tremendous greatness. Now, you can work this into the totally different interpretation of the pasuk, right? You can work this in to the description of the war. It's mussar to the Jewish people about the war. If you go into war thinking we're the greatest, you know, we don't need Hashem, we can take care of ourselves, that's the recipe for disaster. You go into the war with a sense of humility. Im tishkavun ben shvatoyim, right? You, so to speak, lie down with the pots and you get dirty and it's not, you know, not so enjoyable. So then, kanfiyon nechba bekesef. So then, you know, you'll be like the dove, you know, covered over with gold and with silver. You know, you'll rise to great heights if you're willing to lower yourself. Okay, I think we'll take a break for tonight. We'll continue Bez Hashem next time. We are on next time, Bez Hashem, next Monday. We'll continue making our way through this Kapitel Tehillim. Usually we're able to, you know, to get in an entire Kapitel in one sitting, but not just because of the length, but also because of the difficulty of this Kapitel. We'll have to have a part two, you know, Bez Hashem next time. So we'll see everybody next week, and enjoy the week.
If I were picking a capital telling to say,
yeah.